Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see you all. Let's spend some time together on Luke chapter 21, which is one of the daily readings. It has been already read, a passage where Jesus speaks directly to his followers about the realities of life, the challenges, the pressures, and the trials we will face. Jesus knew that following God wouldn't always be easy. He knew that a life of faithfulness would bring challenges, misunderstandings, and sometimes suffering. But he also showed us how to endure, how to remain faithful and trusting, even when life feels heavy and the way forward is not clear. But before we look at chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke, it's good to see what we see in Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Psalm 92 shows us what a life planted in God's courts looks like, growing, flourishing, steady, and rooted. And Luke chapter 21 shows us how to stay planted under pressure, how to hold firm when trials come, and how to trust God's purposes, even when we cannot see the full picture. Before Jesus speaks about the end of the age, before he mentions wars, earthquakes, Israel, or the signs of his return, he begins with something probably simple in the beginning of Luke chapter 21. Jesus looks up and sees the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. Then he sees a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he says in verse 3, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. And verse 4, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. This is the key to understanding the rest of the chapter. Jesus is about to describe a world that will shake, but first he shows us a woman whose faith cannot be shaken. Jesus is about to describe the fall of the temple, but first he shows us a heart that will stand forever. He is about to call us to watchfulness, but first he shows us someone already living it. The widow here teaches us three foundational truths. The first one is that God sees what others overlook. The disciples admired the temple stones in verse 5. Jesus admired the widow's heart. And the second truth here is the true discipleship is measured by sacrifice, not quantity. In verse 4, it says, she gave all she had to live on, not the leftovers, not the comfortable portion, but everything. And the third truth here is that faith is not about what we possess. It is about what we surrender. Widow had almost nothing, yet she gave more than anyone. I think this is a perfect introduction to the rest of the chapter, because Jesus is about to describe a world where everything external collapses. But the heart of a disciple must remain steadfast. Immediately after praising the widow, Jesus turns to the temple. In verse 5, the disciples admire its beauty and the noble stones. But Jesus says in verse 6, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another. There is a contrast here, isn't it? The temple looked strong, but it would fall. The widow looked weak, but her faith would endure forever. Jesus is teaching us here, do not trust in structures, trust in God. Do not trust in appearances, trust in faith. Do not trust in what seems permanent, trust in what is eternal. In verse 7, the disciples ask, Teacher, when will these things be and what will be the sign? I think this is the same question believers have asked for 2,000 years. And Jesus answers, not with dates, not with timelines, but with character, with warnings. Jesus describes false Christ in verse 8. Many will come in my name. Wars, tumults. And he says, do not be afraid. In verse 9. Verse 10. Nation rising against nation. Verse 11. Earthquakes, famines, fear, and signs from heaven. Then Jesus turns from global signs to personal signs. In verse 12, persecution, says, they will lay their hands on you. Witnessing before rulers, in verse 13, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. And divine help, in verse 15, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Betrayal, verse 16, even by family. Hatred, verse 17, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. These signs are not meant to frighten us. They are meant to awaken us. They are not signs of chaos. They are signs of God's purpose moving forward. And then the promise in verse 18 and 19. Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. This is not a promise of physical safety. It is a promise of spiritual preservation. The world may shake, but God will not lose a single one of his faithful. Jesus then speaks of Jerusalem. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, verse 20. Sometimes we say this has happened, in AD 70. Verse 24 says, they will fall by the edge of the sword. This is the Jewish dispersion. Jerusalem will be trampled until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Verse 24. The key word here is until. There is an end point, a turning point, a moment when God's purpose with Israel resumes. Verse 29 to 31, Jesus gives the parable of the fig tree. We have long understood the fig tree as a symbol of Israel. When it comes out in leaf, Jesus says, "You know that the kingdom of God is near," in verse 31. But remember, the fig tree is not the first lesson in this chapter. The widow is. Israel's restoration tells us Christ is near. The widow tells us how to be ready. How to be ready when Christ is coming. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus describes distress of nations, people fainting with fear, the powers of the heavens shaken. But then comes the turning point in verse 27. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then the most encouraging verse in this chapter, verse 28. It says, "Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near." The world looks around and sees fear. The disciple looks up and sees hope. The world sees collapse. The disciple sees the kingdom. The world sees uncertainty. The disciple sees fulfillment. But who can raise their heads with confidence? The one who lives like the widow, trusting God, giving their heart, walking in faith. Jesus ends the chapter with a personal warning. In verse 34, it says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life." He warns of three dangers here. Dissipation. Normally a life, you know, numbed by comfort and distraction. The second is drunkenness. Not only literal, but symbolic of being intoxicated with the world. And the third one, cares of this life. The everyday pressures that quietly push God aside. The widow had every reason to be overwhelmed by the cares of life, yet she gave everything to God. And Jesus says in verse 36, "Stay awake at all times, praying." It means watchfulness is not fear, it is faithfulness. As we come to the table, we see the ultimate fulfillment, the ultimate example, and again, ultimate fulfillment of the widow's example, the perfect example in Jesus. She gave all her living. Widow gave all her living. Jesus gave his life. Widow trusted God completely. Jesus trusted God even unto death. When we take the bread and wine, we declare that we want to give our hearts completely, that we want to live in trust, that we want to watch and pray, that we want to be ready when Christ returns. Luke chapter 21, I think, is a chapter of contrasts. A widow who gives everything, a temple that will fall, a world that will shake, a fig tree that comes out in leaf, the Son of Man who returns, a kingdom that will come. And Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Thank you.